Listening up, because we're gonna pick on you guys too. All right. All right. When you're sharing the gospel with someone, give her some water quick. You okay? That was power stuff. He didn't tell you there's a lot of rum in that, did he? Okay. All right. So when you're sharing the gospel, you're asking permission. We're gonna actually talk about that as this session goes. But what we tried to demonstrate last session is there are three critical issues that you want to establish. There's three critical issues when seeking to share the gospel with somebody. So, Sid, what's issue number one?
All of sin.
Okay, issue number two?
Redemption is in Christ.
Okay, so Christ alone. And then what's number three?
Through the blood.
There it is. Hey, give him a hand. But you're not done yet. Okay. So another way to remember it is simply this. Man's got a problem. God's got a solution. Here's your response. Yeah. Man's got a problem. God is the only solution. Here's your response. So three steps. Man's got a problem. God's got a solution. Here's your response. So under category number one, all have sinned. That's man's problem. What's the verse we could use for all have sinned? What's it say? Come on, what's it say? Because you're witnessing to me right now. Tell me what it says.
All of sin falls short
of the glory of God.
Of the glory of God.
Okay, so how are you going to demonstrate that it's not just all everybody out there, but I'm accountable? What would you tell me?
I'm accountable.
Yeah, what would you tell me? I'm the lost guy.
You're the lost. Just make it personal.
Yeah.
We've all fallen short.
So short of what?
And you of God's plan. Sin, it's a part of all of our lives.
Okay, but what sin? What do you mean sin?
Sin is, if we were to use even just the Ten Commandments as an example, you know, is there any one of those that perhaps you would have fallen short of? Lying, cheating, stealing, any one of those be part of your life?
Probably.
At any point in time?
Yeah, that was good, by the way. Well, yeah, probably. So what's that mean?
Well, that means that all of us, that's why it's there, it's to show that all of us are going to fall short. You've fallen short. I've fallen short.
Okay.
God has a plan to cover that.
Which is what?
To resolve.
Which is what?
And that's what Christ did on the cross.
What did he do?
He paid the price for you, for me. That's what salvation is.
Salvation from what?
Salvation from, there's a heaven, there's a hell. And we have a destiny. Is it heaven? Is it hell? And you have to ask yourself, where am I headed?
Well, I think I'm going to heaven. I mean, I'm a pretty good person. I told a couple of lies.
What would you base that off?
Well, I mean, I haven't robbed anybody. I haven't robbed any banks. I haven't. I'm pretty religious. I go to church at least three or four times a year.
But there's no weight put from one sin to the other. So even though we have sinned, as small as it may have been.
Well, in other words, how come God can't just accept? I mean, I'm not any better, any worse than anybody else. How come He can't just accept me based on who I am?
Because He has a plan. He's given us a guide, and we have to be righteous to go to heaven. We have to be
right.
Clean.
So,
there's only one way to do that.
Right, but that's what I'm trying to do, though, right? But me being religious, aren't I becoming righteous?
But it has nothing to do with religion. It only has to do with the cross.
What happened on the cross?
Because what happened on the cross is a price was paid. Someone else, Jesus Christ, paid for our sin. For you, for me.
Okay. So what do I do then? I mean, do I just...
So to come to that knowledge, to come to that understanding, to be righteous towards God, to be able to understand, to be sure that you're going to go to heaven, is the faith in the blood that was given by Christ on the cross for your sins, in payment for your sins.
That sounds like something I've kind of heard at church, but in our system, it seems like they say you still got to be good enough. You know what I mean? That you still got to do good works.
Because
I heard that Christ died, but...
If we're to look at the Word of God, what does the Word of God say? You got to understand, that is the Word of God. So what does it say? We have to believe. It's that faith plus nothing.
So just faith alone.
That's faith alone that makes the acceptance.
I got to think about that. I got to think about that. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Give me a hand there. Hey. That's what you get for making the almond roca, right?
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. What's that?
In the meantime,
yeah, that's right.
We're out of
yeah. Almond roca. Yeah, we're out. Yeah. But thanks for making the almond roca, though. Anyway, that stuff's good. It's going around everything. Okay, once again, let's real quickly review because we still have a lot to cover and so forth. Number one, man has a problem.
Sin.
What's man's problem?
Sin.
How do you make that point personal to the guy? What are some ways you can make it?
Like you, and you're no better than me, and I'm a sin.
And what have I done?
Have you lied?
Lied.
Have you stolen?
Stolen.
Good. So see how you're trying to make it personal? And on that same issue, so I've sinned. Okay, so I acknowledge to you, yes, I've lied. So what?
Qualifies
me for
your payment of sin for the penalty.
Which is,
yeah.
There we go. See, so not only all have sinned, I have sinned, here's the consequences of my sin. Romans 6:23, who knows it? Romans 6:23.
Look,
thank you, there's the first part. That's 3:23. Romans 6:23, for
which
sin is. So stop there. Don't go to the gift yet. We're not there yet. Okay? So point number one, man's got a problem. Point number two, God's only solution is the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. And then point number three, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to say?
There's a plan. Redemption plan.
The redemption's in Christ Jesus. That's number two. What was number three? You can look at your chart, by the way. Faith in His blood. Faith in His blood. See that? Step one, step two, step three. Memorize these. Get these in our thinking so we know step one, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three. Now, real quick, let me mention a couple of things about this. Richard and I were talking on the way over to lunch and everything, and he brought up something real, real important that we have to remember. There are three. First of all, when you're witnessing to that person, you are in a spiritual battle. You understand that? You are absolutely in a spiritual battle right then and right there. It's a battle for that person's soul. Your emotions are kind of a little, you know, nervous. That person's emotions, he's on the defensive, right? You actually are in a spiritual battle for the eternal destiny of that soul right there in front of you. That's huge. And what Richard was mentioning is that there are three critical points when you enter into this spiritual battle. The first one is asking permission. That's specifically what we're going to focus on this afternoon here just in a few minutes. Okay, asking permission. That's critical to get that permission. That's critical point number one. Asking the permission, if I could show you thus and so. So you're going to ask permission. All right, we haven't got there yet. That's going to be the next step. In fact, that's on the back side of this form. The second critical stage is using the Word of God to let the Word bring that person to conviction of his need. Yes, using the verses to let the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, bring that person to an awareness of his need. The point being, if a person doesn't know he's lost, he'll never trust Christ because he doesn't know he really needs Christ. To him, Christ is just another religious figure. So you don't want to shortchange or sidestep or jump over this point. You sinned. Here's the fact. Here's the specifics that you've sinned. Here's the consequence of your sin. So you're still on point number one. Who remembers what Revelation 21:8 says? And if you don't know the whole verse, especially, what was the last part? And all
liars.
So you tell them that. You can quote that. Say, listen, the wages of sin is death. Revelation tells us that all liars shall have their part, which is in the lake of fire, burn brimstone forever, right? At that point, you got another question to ask them. This is a critical stage in the spiritual battle that's going on. This is the critical stage right here. Ask them something like this. Based upon that verse, or based upon what that scripture says, if God was to deal with you based upon your own admission of telling a lie, where are you going to spend eternity? And then zip it up. Let them answer. And you'll hear all kinds of things. Christ talks about that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when this guy starts responding to that, that tells you what's in his heart. It tells you the fight he's having in his heart to fight you. Well, yeah, but. Or, well, everybody else does. Well, I don't. See that? What kind of response are you looking for from the guy?
Yeah, I guess I am good about that.
Yes, say it real loud.
I guess I am going to go to hell.
Yeah. Well, if that verse is true, then yes, I'm going to go, I'm going to spend eternity like a fire. That's the response you're looking for. What tends to happen, this is a real uncomfortable time in the conversation because you're right in the middle of a spiritual battle. I promise you, this is one of the most uncomfortable times in the situation here. It's a whole lot easier to talk about the love of God than the reality of the wrath of God. I mean, don't you find that true? It's way easier to talk about the love of God than to talk about the reality of the wrath of God. But until that person knows that they're under the wrath of God, then the love of God is, well, my wife loves me, or my kids love me, or, you know, you see the bumper stickers, you know, Jesus loves you. Well, so does, you know, nowadays you go to San Francisco, so does their boyfriend. I don't need another gay boyfriend. Yeah, you know, I'm being kind of direct here, right? And you'll hear people talk about some of the Christian music about Jesus loves me. They call it Jesus is my boyfriend music. You know, Jesus gospel is another boyfriend gospel type. No. We're talking about heaven and hell here. So to tell a person that in their mind they have no need of eternal salvation, to tell them that God loves them, you're telling them something true, but something that's irrelevant to them as far as they think. Right? So this is first critical stage is asking permission. If they say yes, fantastic. If they say no, well then, you know, we'll talk about that momentarily. Second thing is okay, all of sin, here's what Scripture says. Have you ever done this? You ever tell like, yes. Well, here's what the Bible says. Wages of sin is death. Death in the lake of fire. All liars shall. I'm just doing this real quick, okay? So based upon that verse, Joe, based upon that verse, by your own admission, you said you've lied before. Based upon that verse, where would you spend eternity?
In the lake of fire.
That's what you're looking for. Okay? Now, if they say that, now you're ready to go on to the next step, which is, step two, which is, now here's God's solution. Would you like to know how you could escape the lake of fire and avoid it, Joe?
Sure.
See that? That's a reasonable question. All right? So now you can go, here's God's only solution. And now you go to verse 24, the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. See how you're doing that? So once you've explained to the person that the redemption, the full payment of the price is in what Christ did, you're setting the stage for the third most critical area. You want that person to see that it's what Christ did and what He alone did. That's why when I was talking to Sid, I said something like, well, I heard that before, but my church also teaches that plus this. See how I added that in there? And that's what people will say that are religious. They'll say, well, I've heard Jesus died, and I know that, but... And then they'll fill in the blank with something else they're trusting in. Okay? So, again, you're heading into that third critical stage where you want to convey to them that this is the only solution that God has, that's His provision. Then, of course, the next stage is you're going to invite them to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Okay? All right, real quick question. You know the three phases. What are the three parts of the gospel you're going to try to get them through? Berta, real quick, what are they?
Adoption.
So man's problem?
Christ is the only solution.
God's solution?
And faith
in His blood. There it is. See how that is? So just get that in your mind. And I know I'm repeating myself, but it's because we have to train ourselves that way. Just again, the muscle memory concept, okay? Right. Under Romans 3:23, what is sin? We talked about that. You can use the law to demonstrate what sin is. Under Romans 3:23, what sin earns? Under that verse, write down Romans 6:23a on your chart there, on your little handout. On that first page, the front page, left side, first column there, all has sinned. Question number one, what is sin? Well, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, okay? Underneath that, what sin earns? Romans 6:23. Jonathan, quote for us Romans 6:23, quick. First part. Okay. Stephen, quote for us the first part of Romans 6:23. Where's Stephen? Is he sleeping back there? There he is. What is it? No, that was 3:23. Romans 6:23. Okay, good. Alright, let's see here. Where is Scott? Scott back there? Scott, quote for us Romans 3:23. You can read it if you want. No, that's 2. 3:23. Chapter 3:23.
Glory of God.
Okay, so everybody see the problem, right? Okay, so you should have that down there. And then when it says what sin earns, underneath that, you want to write down Romans 6:23a and Revelation 21:8. Right? Okay, so let's move on. Step two there. So now that they've understood, and you've asked them, if God's going to give you based upon what you deserve, what's He going to give you? The lake of fire, hell. Great. Now let me show you the solution. So now you're into phase two there, the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3:24. Adrian, can you quote Romans 3:24? You can read it or quote it.
Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
What are we going to emphasize in that verse?
Redemption in Christ Jesus.
What does redemption mean? Redemption is paying the price. Or paying the price. So it's not religion, it's redemption. It's not what you do, it's what Christ did. See the emphasis there? Okay. All right, and then so under, you see, question number one, eternal life is through the cross. That's the point. Redemption is in Christ. It's in a person. It's in a person. It's in a person. It's not a religion. Underneath that, eternal life is a free gift. Okay, who's got, Greg, what's the verse we could use for eternal life being a free gift?
Romans 3:25.
Yes. No, actually, 25 will work, and 24 will work. So quote it. Tell us what it says. Well, get your Bible. Open it up. Come on, dude. There's Bible camp here. This is training camp, you know. Yeah, what she said.
Quote, the whole thing?
Please. What you're trying to do, you want to have a verse to demonstrate to the person it's a free gift. So verse 24 is really good on that. What's it say? How does that verse demonstrate it's something that's free? Yeah, how about the word freely? Okay.
Freely.
How about you're justified freely? Right, Nicole, you got that? Nicole, how's the person justified?
Freely.
There we go. That's the shift. Okay, good. No, we don't want to have any blonde jokes. Anyway, all right. So now another one. What's another great verse to show that salvation is a free gift? It's also in the book of Romans. That's okay, say it. What's it say, Sue?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
See, that just plainly says it right there. You've got to have that one memorized. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. So you're going to use that in the first part. But, say it loud, Tony. What's the rest of the verse say, Tony? What's it say?
The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus.
See, that's the second stage of what you're trying to do there. See that? See how these verses work together? Okay? Now, the third stage, faith in His blood. That's verse 25. Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through what?
Faith in
His blood. Where's John? I'm missing John. He would be jumping out of his seat right now. Taking notes for him. Well, is he taking a nap, right? You're taking notes, he's taking a nap, okay? Anyway, he loves to hear the blood, that's right. So he missed the most important part here, right? At any rate, so through faith in His blood, through faith in His blood, through faith in His blood, you cannot say that enough. Faith is to be in the blood of Christ, not in your works or lack of works. Faith is to be in the blood of Christ, not in your religion. God wants you to believe about the blood what God believes about the blood, and that is it paid the price, it's enough. That's what you're trying to convey to that person. And this is that critical stage. You want to allow God, the Holy Spirit, to use the Word to bring that person to the place where he sees, okay, that's the solution for my problem. All right? So through faith in His blood. Only faith can save. Now, there are a number of verses where the Apostle Paul talks about faith alone. You don't need to rattle off a whole bunch of verses to that lost person. I heard Lori said something. She was reading something recently. It was really, really good. And what this article said, it said one or two great points are way better than 20 good points. Isn't that interesting? How sometimes just taking the verse and just pinpointing the issue is so much better than just feeding somebody with a fire hose of a bunch of verses. So you can take in your concordance and you can look at the word, to him that believeth, but you really only need a couple. All right? Let me give you a few. We've already memorized one. What was our very first verse we memorized in this course? What was it? No, our very first one. What does it say, John? What's it say? Romans 1:16 says this. Let's all say it together. Ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that... Here it is. To the Jew first and also the Greek, right? And then it says, let's keep going. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There's another one you can show. See that? So you can use that verse, say, to everyone that believeth, faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. And then you're still there in Romans 3:25. Look over to Romans 3:25. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through what?
Faith.
That's what you want to emphasize. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. Faith in the blood. That's God's provision. That's God's response. In conveying that to the individual, why are we trying to say, what's the purpose of us telling the individual that the only response that God can accept is when you place your faith in the blood of Christ? Why are we telling him or her that? Why? Number one, because it is the answer.
But,
because there's nothing they can do. And what are you trying to get them to do? To make the decision. That's why you're bringing this up. Okay? Because it is the truth. There's nothing they can do. And you're trying to lead them to the place where you're going to say, well, based upon what we've gone over, does this make sense to you? You've already sinned, so you can't pay God for those past sins. You're going to sin in the future, so it can't be. He can't save you based upon what you're doing. He already gave the blood of Christ. That being the case, God will save you if you'll trust Him. Would you like to trust Him? See that? That's the next critical phase right there. See that? That's the next critical phase right there. Actually asking the guy or girl, would you like to trust Him now? By the way, and for those of you in sales, you know you've been told that when you ask the question, what should you do? Shut up.
Close your mouth.
Yeah. Because if you say, Joe, would you like to trust Jesus Christ for your Savior? I mean, He died for you and everything. He really wants to save you. Would you like to go and trust Him right now and everything? But Joe, I mean, we've talked about a lot of things. Joe, would you like to trust Him? You know, I mean, well, I've been saved a long time. Would you like to trust Him? Joe, would you like to... See that? You see, you're so nervous. You finally got through step three, you know? So you say, well, Joe, based upon the what we've gone over right now, you know you've sinned. You've admitted yourself. You admitted that if God was to deal with you based upon the lie that you told, He'd give you a lake of fire. And I demonstrated to you what the blood of Christ did for you already. Based upon that, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior right now?
Sure.
Yeah. So just shut up. And He said, sure, that's what you're looking for. If what if someone says, well, no, I don't think so? What do you do then?
Why wouldn't you want to?
That's a great question. Is there any particular reason why you wouldn't want to? If they say no, then it's either something along the way that they didn't believe, or it's just the hardness of the heart where they're just not going to believe. So you could ask them, well, is there any particular reason that you don't want to trust them now? That's a great question. Is there something that I said that maybe you didn't get or I didn't understand? So no, that's a great question, Tony. See that? And so let's say I'm asking Gina over here. Gina, based upon... Well, no, let's get some volunteers. Come on, Gina. Come on up. Yes. Come on. All right. Berta, come on up. So what? We all have. Come on, yeah. Well, we'll get there. We're going to get to pick on the teens here again, right? Yeah. Did Zoe go yet?
No.
Oh, Zoe hasn't gone. Zoe, come up here. No. Where are you going? No. You come up here. Yeah. No, Zoe's here for moral support. You're training her how to give the gospel. Okay. All right. Okay. So what's happened is this. You guys know each other casually. You've asked for permission. You went through the three stages. She seemed to be tracking fairly well with each stage. Yes, you're talking to her. Okay, so you've already gone through the three stages. You explained to her about sin. She seemed to acknowledge that. She acknowledged, yes, that if God's going to deal with me based upon that, I'm going to spend eternity in hell. So you went to the solution. Now you're demonstrating it's faith alone. So you're going to ask Gina, say, well, Gina, based upon this, and then real quickly, like in 15 seconds, summarize everything. Like in 10 seconds. Based upon this, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior now? And all I want you to say is, yes. That's all you have to say. This is a big job. Oh, okay, wow. Can she do it? That's all you got to say, okay? This is your famous... Get the cameras rolling. Here we go. Come on. Call the television crew up. Here we go. Okay.
So, Gina, based on our previous... how
Hey, see how they do? Okay, so now, what do we tell her to do? Now we say, well, I'll see you later. No, what do you do now? A question came up earlier when you want to lead someone to Christ and they say, yes, I think I would like to trust Christ right now. Do you pray? Does prayer save you? Does prayer save you?
No.
Okay.
You have to say the prayer and let them make a decision.
Okay. Does prayer play any part of the person getting saved?
No.
No? Is it wrong to pray?
No.
No, pray without ceasing. So what would you tell that person if she said, you know, yes, I think I would like to trust Christ right now. First of all, you're so excited, right? This is, whoa, this works, man. You know, the verse actually said, you know, that's what God's word said. Yeah, you can certainly do that. You can say, well, tell you what, let's, I'm going to lead you in prayer. Prayer, tell them this, prayer doesn't save you. It's not the prayer, God saves you. But as I pray, in the privacy of your own heart, you tell God that you trust His blood, the blood of Christ that paid for your sins. And then you just pray. See that? But remember,
you don't, she doesn't need to do that, though, really, right?
That's correct. She doesn't audibly need to say to you, but in the privacy of her own heart, she just needs to acknowledge to God. She probably already did it. When someone says to you, yes, I'd like to trust Christ right now, you know something's going on in their heart. What you want to do is you want to lead them and understand God's given you a gift. The way you receive the gift is by faith. That's what faith is, I believe it. So you just tell God, I want to receive your gift right now. See what you do there? Okay. We haven't talked so much about that. We'll talk more about that. But can express the point that the prayer doesn't... If you're going to pray with them, prayer doesn't save them. Make sure they know that. God doesn't save you because you prayed. He saves you because you believed, whether or not you pray. Okay? But does that mean it's wrong to pray? Of course not. Pray without ceasing. Just make sure that when you talk with them in prayer, that you're conveying to them that, listen, this prayer doesn't save you, and God doesn't save you because you prayed. He saves you when you believe Him. So you said, let me read you, can I, you know, just pray with me right now. And then you just pray with her, okay? All right, good. Give him a hand there. There really isn't. You understand, the question that Joe brought up is there's really no such thing as a sinner prayer. Not really, but it's not wrong to pray. And it's not, because what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. So if that lost person, right then and there, if that lost person bows their head or not, if they close their eyes or not, but if they do, and they just say, Lord, God, I believe the blood of Christ. Please save me right now. I trust the blood of Christ alone. What did they just do to God? They just prayed. Did God save them because they prayed?
No.
He saved them because they believed. So if you want to call that the sinner's prayer, call that a sinner's prayer. I don't care what you call it. But that, by the way, that's not generally what they mean by the sinner's prayer kind of thing. But don't be so critical about the concept of praying, but just clarify that prayer doesn't do the saving. Prayer doesn't save you. In fact, let's put it this way. If you tell a person right off the bat, well, don't pray because prayer doesn't save you, and I know you're not saying that. I understand that, okay? Well, then what are you potentially conveying to this newborn babe in Christ, this new Christian, this new believer right there? What are you potentially saying to that person about prayer? Forget prayer doesn't matter. That's not what you want to convey to this person. The whole entire rest of his life he needs to be praying without ceasing. So why would you start the Christian life conveying the concept of don't pray, don't talk to God? You definitely want to talk to God. But you want to be so careful about conveying to that person, this prayer doesn't save you. Prayer is just talking to God. Let's talk to God together now. See how you do that? Go ahead.
Can you say, in that moment, would you say, let's turn to the Lord and thank Him?
Yeah, sure. Yes.
But, you know,
like, yes. Give Him thanks.
It more into,
yes.
You know, like,
and if they're not sure what to say, because the fact is a lot of them aren't sure what to say. If you ever went out witnessing with Oscar Woodall, he's with the Lord and everything, he would lead a person in prayer. And he called it the sinner's prayer. But his point was, they didn't necessarily know what to say. You know, the heathen pray like the heathen pray. So all of a sudden, you've got to retrain their thinking in terms of how to pray. So he would say, well, if you're not sure what to tell God, just repeat after me. What I say isn't going to save you. If you believe in your heart, God will save you. But just say something like this as you talk to God now. And then he would just say, Lord, and he would tell the person's name and so forth, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell because your word says so. And he'd wait and give the person the chance to say that. And Lord, you tell me that the blood of Christ paid for all of my sins. So God, I right now believe you by trusting the blood of Christ. In Jesus' name, I thank you for saving me right now. Amen. Now, if a person said that prayer right then and right there, and it was truly out of their heart, did that person just get saved?
Yeah.
You got to believe they did. So again, you got prayers. You got to be careful about what you convey about prayer. Definitely teach that person the importance of prayer, but convey to them that prayer doesn't save them. Okay? Yes, Richard, go ahead.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please do. Come on up.
We've dealt with this for a long time. I think if you ask the question differently, you know, I think the way you ask the question sets you up for the problem. If I say, would you like to trust Christ right now? If I say, will you trust Christ right now?
Right.
That's two different questions.
Yeah.
Would you like to? Leaves, how do I do it? I'd like to. Now, what I got to do it. This one is,
will you?
Let's close the deal.
Close the deal.
I'm not interested if you want to or not to. Will you?
Will you?
Because if you will, you wanted to. If you won't, you'll say, well, I'm not sure. Well, that's a good answer. What is it that makes you unsure? Okay? Well, don't you understand what? But when you ask the question, would you like to, then you got to deal with all these other things. I see people, you know, getting saved is just making the decision to trust Christ. Our little gospel tract, the heaven tract, that's what it had ends. Then it puts three or four little periods, said, what did you decide?
Yeah.
Okay? Because it's not prayer that saves you. It's not doing something that saves you. It's making a choice inside your, you know, the quietness of your own heart. Will you make a choice? Yes, I will trust Christ. I saw a man get saved just maybe a week ago. And that's what I always ask people. Well, will you right now? Trust him. Make the decision, trust him. And he said, yeah. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, anything else? I said, did you tell me? did you make the choice to rely exclusively on Christ? Yeah. I said, okay, now what else did you need to do? No, nothing. I said, okay. Now, go back to that question you asked earlier. If you died right now, what would happen to you? He said, well, I'd go to heaven. I said, okay, I'm going to ask you the other question. Ask him, how do you know? See, now he's telling you back what he now knows.
You're reinforcing.
We didn't have to argue about. We didn't have to think about. And the reason I say that is, I was raised in religion, and I spent a long time knowing I was lost. There was never a time I didn't know Jesus Christ was God who died on the cross for the sins of the world. But I always thought that faith was doing something. And I don't care how many times you tell them, prayer doesn't save you. How many times do you hear a preacher say baptism doesn't save you? And you ask God, when you get saved, so I was baptized so-and-so. In his mind, a different connection is made. But if you don't ask him any of that, you just say, will you trust Christ? See? Just that little shift.
Yeah, that's good.
Shifts the whole issue of there ain't nothing else to do. It's time to fish or cut bait. And I found, personally, because those two battle points, based on that verse, where does God say you're going to spend eternity? That's a hard question to ask.
Yeah.
But you've got to let them tell you. And then, yeah, that's bad news, isn't it? But that verse had a but in it. Boy, I'm glad the rest of that verse said but. God did something about that. The gift of God. Okay? Now, will you trust Christ? How do you receive eternal life?
Free.
It's a free gift. How do you get a free gift? I'll offer you a gift. Look at here. God, here's an illustration. God says, I've got eternal life to give you. I put it in my son. Take eternal life. Can't get it. Because it's in my son. Take my son.
Now you got it.
So the choice is, will you trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? after they say yes or no, then you pray. But saying, you know, we've been talking, I'm going to talk to God a little bit. All prayer is talking to God. I'm talking about you.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
So you're teaching to pray. You follow that?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's a real important thing. For me, it's important because the thing that confused me for so long was I thought believing was doing something. And when I realized it was doing nothing, faith is a choice to believe what God says. That's all faith is. You receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Why is it greater? Because God doesn't lie. Men lie, make mistakes. They'll tell you that, you know, are wrong sometimes. God doesn't do it. But if you know how to believe a person, you know how to exercise faith. The issue isn't your faith, the issue is what it's in. God's Word. So I don't know whether that's clarified in there, but thing you're struggling with, you can get away from the struggle by just the way you rephrase that question.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. So instead of saying, would you like to trust Christ right now, what are we going to say? What are we going to say instead?
Let's go ahead and trust Him right now.
Not let's go ahead, because you already have, but say, would you like to go ahead and trust Christ? Instead say what? Will you trust Christ right now? See that? So that's how you're going to wrap it up. Yes, Robert?
You know, like, a lot of guys like to the booty grabs and all that. Say, oh, I'm a Christian. Say, oh, how do you become a Christian? And he said, because I say a prayer.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, they come down the lane or alley or whatever, they say a prayer. But, you know, I think it'd be good if the ministers be out there because they could have said, well, listen to my words.
Well, that's what Richard was just saying, is that we have to be clear. We're not going to say the same things that they do out there. We got to be clear in the questions that we ask, but also in what we tell that person to do in response to how to get saved. We're actually going to deal with that more tomorrow, what not to say and what to say. So this is a huge clarification right here. Instead of asking the person right now, would you like to trust Christ right now, say, will you trust Christ right now? Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do. You know, but you know what, Robert? That's what they do. We're not talking about what they do. What we're talking about, what we're going to do. Okay? That's what I'm saying. So let's just do it this way. Let's not worry about how they do it. Okay? Okay, so let's move on now.
Okay?
That's what we said. Yeah. That's what we said. Yeah, it's okay to pray. You definitely want to teach them to pray. Yeah, okay. All right, real quick now. So what are the three steps?
Man's problem.
Man's problem, which is what? Next, God's solution is what? Therefore, faith in His blood. Man's problem, God's solution, what man's supposed to do. Okay, so that, keep that little cheat sheet in your car, right? Have the verses right there, just keep it in your car. Okay, now, one thing that has been mentioned several times is that you want to ask permission. You want to ask permission. Because evangelism, because leading that person to Christ is a personal, private issue, you are entering that person's personal space. If you want to know about personal space or lack thereof, ask Josh and Emery about their trip to China. They were over there about a year and 4 months. They know about the concept physically of personal space. They don't believe in it over there, all right? But when it comes to sharing the gospel with someone, you're actually entering their personal space is what you're doing. So the point of asking permission is to allow them to kind of relax a little bit, to open up and say, well, okay, I'll be willing to listen to what you have to say. They might still be kind of guarded, but at least they're giving you permission, all right, what you're doing. What's another reason to ask permission? Why else ask permission, Cindy? Why?
Courtesy.
Good. Why else?
Well, they're going to listen to you.
Okay, if they say yes, then they've kind of said, okay, I'll be willing to listen to you. Why else ask permission? Yes, Jonathan. Yeah, exactly. Because if they give you permission, then all of a sudden, you know, you're not trying to force someone. And Jonathan, you had your hand up?
Well, because faith is just a response to what God has to say to us, pretty much. So if you put it on them, say, like, and you ask permission, then it forces them to make that decision for themselves.
See that?
That's perfect.
You're setting the end from the beginning. You're setting the stage. Okay, get my hand there. All right. Anyway. Okay. So, what on the chart here, by the way, there's what's another reason to ask permission? If you're asking them permission, what are you giving them permission to do? To tell you no. You're giving them permission to tell you no, I'm not interested. So what do you do at that point? Great, no problem. You know? Save you lots of time and effort and energy, you know. A lot of nerves just, whoosh, man, you know. So asking permission really is powerful. And just that, just it, what's that?
While we're practicing.
But
I was just going to say the other day, we spent a car ride with a couple who are not saved, nor are they right dividers, but she had heard me talk about it.
Yes.
So for the whole car ride, an hour or so, she wanted me to tell her. And I kept saying, is this okay? Is, you know,
yeah.
Do you mind me sharing this with you? And she goes, oh, please.
Interesting. That's awesome.
Even with right division, I was asking her, do I have
yes.
permission to... You know,
yes.
You know,
yeah. There's another reason to ask permission. It puts you on a level of equals, in a sense of friends, not adversaries. Is if I could show you how to go. Okay, so let's do this. By the way, you've got some questions here. It's the next section says on the back in the middle, the back page, the middle. It says learn to ask the crunch questions. Just like it's hard sometimes to really bring that person to the place where they recognize their need, the issue of hell. It's hard to talk about hell. Well, the fact is, it's hard sometimes to figure out, well, how do I start the conversation? Every one of us, if I call you up here, which I'm going to call a few more here, okay? By the way, now, okay, who has not come up to the front and done role play yet? I need a moment of honesty. Okay, Bob's going to come on up. Come on up, Bob. Bob and Jonathan, please, come on up.
We get a hand for Zoe doing a good job.
Well, yeah, Zoe did a good job. I know she didn't do anything, so we got to get up here a moment. Okay, so Bob and Jonathan up here. Okay, who else has not volunteered? Moment of honesty now. Come on, hands up. What's that? Can he teach you? Yes, he can. Okay, all right, there we go. All right, so here's a scenario. What we want to do is this. You're maybe you met somebody at a park or whatever, and you got to talking with them, and you find that you have something in common. Okay, so it turns out you guys really like hockey. Jonathan really likes hockey as well, and Bob Marley. Okay, whatever. Yeah. That's T-shirt. Okay, and you say, hey, that's a cool T-shirt. So you guys get to talking and everything, and you notice the cross on his shirt there. Now, for purposes of this scenario, you are not necessarily believers. You're you know, moderate Christians, whatever. So you're not anti-God. You're not at all anti-Christian, that type of thing. You're just not saved, but you don't necessarily know it. And all you're going to do at this point, you're just going to try to steer the conversation. Well, hey, do you know for sure where you're going to go when you die? That's one of the questions. Do you know for sure where you're going to go when you die? And you're going to basically say, well, I mean, I'm not sure. And you're going to say, well, if I could show you on the authority of Scripture, would you be interested in seeing that? That's all you're going to do. Okay? There's the question. Okay? So you guys both like hockey, you both like music. You notice his cross on his shirt, so you're going to start the conversation. So you guys already have been talking for a couple minutes.
Right. Yeah. So you got that out of this world shirt on. A lot of people in the Christian community have this. You have any beliefs of your own? You're a Christian? Go to church at all? Anything like that?
Yeah, I got this from church.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. All right, so you'd consider yourself like a Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I probably am part of this world. You know?
Yeah, aren't we all, you know? But can I ask you, like, as a Christian, like, because it's easy to say you're Christian, you know, but, like, mm-hmm. like, what specifically do you put your trust in? Just like
well, it could be good works, you know, of, you know, trying to be good.
Would you consider yourself a good person? Not trying to make any accusations,
yeah.
but just...
And notice his wife is back here. She's like, chicken, you know.
So you would consider yourself a good person? I mean, yeah, obviously it's good to consider yourself a good person because you see what's out there. But what would you consider your standard for a good person? Because what one person considers a good person might not be what even the Holy God would consider a good person. What would you consider your standard?
Well, just. Doing unto others what they'd have you do unto them.
Do you think that would be what God has to say about that? Do you mind? Because you know, there's verses in the Bible that might suggest otherwise. Do you mind if I show you those real quick?
No, that'd be great.
Because, you know, in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. You know, and that's, I mean, death is kind of a problem, you know?
Sure.
And you think...
Especially the older we get.
That's true. And I mean,
we see it closer and closer. When we're younger, we don't catch it as much sometimes.
And I mean, I'm sure you are a good person, but sin is still something that has to be reckoned with, you know? God can't let sin into his holy heaven. And I'm sure, I mean, you're not about to kid anyone. Have you ever sinned in your life? You know, a full lie or anything like that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You know what we call that? politicians.
I definitely could say that I've sinned in life.
All right. And I mean, like I said, wages of sin is death, so there's a wage to be paid. You know, and do you know how that's going to get paid for? You know, the Bible has a word for it. It's called redemption, being bought with a price. And, you know, we can't do anything on our own to pay for it. So that's why God has sent His only Son to die on our cross. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in whom, that's Jesus Christ, we have redemption. He has paid that price for you. When Jesus came down to this earth, He took on your sin when He died on the cross. That very symbol right there? That's what that represents. That's why it's so important.
And I'm being redeemed from what?
You're being redeemed from your sin. Uh-huh. Your sin has it comes with a price. Someone has to pay that price. Redemption is God paying that price for you. All you have to do is believe. Have faith in what He has done. And the faith of that very cross right there, which is why it's such an important symbol. And that's all in that verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood, which leads to the forgiveness of sins. And that's all you have to do.
Yeah, that
and that's a decision
great.
You have to make for yourself. Would you like to make that decision right now? Will you?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so what went well?
The conversation.
It was a very good conversation. Okay. All right. So a good flow. Boy, your wife is back there. Man, I'm going to do that one. Okay. All right. Okay, so now, once again, I need, we've got honest hearts here. Hands up. Who's not yet? Come up to the front. Okay, Scott, come on up. Stephen, come on up. Scott and Stephen, there we go.
Could he have said to Bob's wife, should he have said, would you like to go ahead and trust that as well?
Yeah, he did, and he changed it. He said, will you? He actually changed it. He said, would you?
But did he ask him?
Oh, okay, the question was this. The question was, that's a very good question.
If one said yes, maybe the other one.
What Joe's bringing up here is, since Bob's up here with his wife, so let's say in the conversation that's exactly happening. The wife's listening and everything. The husband made a decision to trust Christ, so Joe brought up the point, it'd be a great time to ask the wife, well, will you also trust Christ now? It's a great question. Very good point. Very good point. Okay. All right. So all I want you to do at this point is just ask permission. That's all I want you to do, okay? So you guys, you're on the beach. Okay, you've been surfing all day. Let's say in a scenario, you guys know each other. Come here, come this way a little more. You guys know each other. Look, he's barefoot. He's on the beach for sure, right? So, you guys are both really good surfers. You're going to enter competition next week, so you're training and stuff like that. You all know each other. You compete against each other, but you're good friends. You're a Christian. You're not a Christian, but you know he's a Christian, and you're kind of curious about this Christian stuff and everything, okay? So the conversation already going, he said, you know what? What is all this Christian stuff? That guy recently who talked about the end of the world last month, Stephen, do you know much about all this stuff? What's all this God stuff? So what you're going to basically do at this point, you're going to say, well, you know what? Have you ever thought about where you're going to go when you die? And then pick the conversation up there. And all I want you to do is get to the point where you say, well, if you could know, would you want to know? If I could show you, something like that, okay? That's all I want you to do at this point, okay? So you guys are just kind of chatting. You're good buddies. You surf. You know each other well. You know he's a Christian. Okay, go ahead.
What's up, man? How you doing today?
Good. You?
I'm good. I was wondering, do you ever think about this life and what's about maybe where you're going to go after, what the whole purpose is?
A little bit.
Have you ever heard anything? Have you ever gone to church at all?
Not really.
Does it interest you? Do you ever think that there's something more past this that you have to make some kind of like conviction or like what you think is going to happen after this?
A little bit, yeah.
Would you possibly want to know maybe that you can know for sure where you're going after you die so you have like confidence in the purpose of this life?
Sure.
Maybe.
See? That's good. And it was a casual conversation. They know each other, so they're both pretty open, that type of thing, right? Okay, good. All right, give me a hand. Good, good. All right, very good. Very good. Good job. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Okay. So that's the idea. Now, real quick, let's take a few minutes to actually look at these questions. These are some questions that you want to have in your arsenal. These are what you would call, okay, initially icebreaker questions, but then questions you're going to ask to get to the place where you can ask permission. Now, not everybody's going to be okay with this. Not everybody's going to want to give you permission. And that's fine. So be comfortable, be okay with them telling you, no, I'm not interested, don't talk to me about this. Be okay with that. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know God wants to save them, but if they're not interested at all right now, somebody else might be. So be okay with that. So if you look at the questions here, yes, Tom, go ahead.
I think an important thing to look at is how you acted when somebody first told you to remember that time you felt that pressure and that somebody coming up to you and saying, and give somebody else that same grace that they gave you.
That's such a good point. Yeah.
I remember how tough it was when I first.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. In fact, let me ask it this way. I'm going to put Joe on the spot here. Okay, I'm going to put Joe on the spot, Joe and Sue. Joe and Sue were the ones who basically led John to the Lord, right? Big John. And John's big. He's an intimidating dude, man. And John speaks his mind, right? You all know John. Yeah, so what was it like witnessing to John? I mean, how long?
They fought it for quite a while.
Like how long?
Years.
But they had a desire to know the truth.
See that?
Yes.
And they're here today because these folks loved them enough to just be willing to put up with their stuff. And, right? Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. You know, that's pretty exciting. But the fact is, it took time. It took getting beat up a few times, you know, verbally, you know, that Jill guy, whatever kind of thing, you know. And they still invite each other out to the desert together, right? So, so all right. So look at the list here at the bottom. You've got a series of questions here. And we want to go over these briefly. The first section on the left at the bottom, see where it says icebreakers. Okay, icebreakers. A lot of times, that's the hardest part right there. You'll find that if you can do that, let me put it this way. Let me use an illustration. Which one of y'all did the ropes course this year or last year? Put your hands up. Okay, so a lot of y'all did it this year or last year. You know, on the ground, looking up at that thing, it looks like no big deal, really, when you think about it. And just even psychologically running across those planks, they really weren't that far apart. If those planks were only a foot off the ground, there would have been no emotion involved at all, really, when you think about it. Because you just, you know. But all of a sudden, when you raise that thing 35 feet in the air, or whatever it is, 40 feet in the air, the perspective is different, right? So what I'm saying is that, okay, you climb the pole, you're up now, and you're out of breath and you hit the top. So you kind of take your breath. You're still hanging on for dear life to the pole, the main pole and everything. You know, you kind of all of a sudden you look around and say, okay, well, this is not so bad after all. I'm okay. I'm still alive. I hadn't died yet. You know, everything is okay.
Yeah,
150 feet up. Yeah. So it's one step at a time. Well, in a real sense, that's kind of what asking the question is. But that first question gets you up the pole, and now you're really kind of comfortable because, okay, you started the 3-minute presentation or 1-minute presentation or 5-minute presentation, whatever you're going to hone it down to. All right? So look at some of the questions. David, what's the first question at the top there on the left here? Okay, find somebody in the room and ask them that question, please. Quick. Find someone. Okay, what's the answer? Okay, Cindy, what's the next one on the list there? Find, turn behind you and ask somebody that question, please. See that? Okay. Andy, you want to answer that question? No. Okay, let's move on quickly. Okay, what's the third question there? Let's see. Let's go, Myrna. Third question there.
Who is Jesus Christ?
Okay, please find someone in your room. Ask him that question. Stand up. Please go find someone in your room and ask him that question. Not him. Come on.
Who is Jesus Christ to you?
Okay. Why are we doing this?
To get you to speak.
Yeah, and it's easy to ask a question. That's why. Okay, Tom, what's the next one down on the left side there?
Do you attend the church? Why?
Okay. Listen. Why? That was a good why. Why? What are you doing that for? You know. That sounds like how the unsaved asked here, right? Church. You know. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, see, John should be here because just before this camp, was it his fishing buddy that called him? Who was telling me that? Okay. Yeah. John's fishing buddy called him and wanted him to go fishing. And do you remember? Do you know the story?
Oh yeah. And
tell us.
Bible camp.
And what does buddy say?
What are you going there for?
Yeah, what are you going there for? There's the open door. Yeah. See that? So those.
He told him why.
Yeah, and he told him why. Like I say, you ask John a question, he's going to tell you. Right? So those questions on the left side, this is just the icebreaker. This is not, if I could show you, that's not that, you're not there yet. This is just the icebreaker. It is. Let's repeat these out loud together. Ready? Do you ever think about spiritual things? Next one. What is your concept of God? Next one. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Next one. Do you attend church? And then follow up there. Now, you might know several other icebreaker questions that work for you. Just add them to the list. You don't have to use these. These are just some to kind of get you thinking. Nowadays, everybody thinks about spiritual things. Because the New Age movement, evolution is a spiritual... Everybody thinks about spiritual things, right? So that question there, everybody's got to ask, say yes to that question. If they don't, they're just not thinking at all. They're dead, right? You know? What's that?
Or they're lying again, too.
Yeah. Do you ever think about spiritual things? Again, everybody's going to say yes to that question. Do you think much about God? Do you think there is a God? Mm-hmm. Things like that. The one about, well, do you ever go to church? That's a really good question because it's a little more narrow. What would be a good follow-up to the question, do you ever go to church? And they say, well, yeah, occasionally. What's a good follow-up? Not yet. But I mean, that's not bad. But I'm saying, where do you go to church? Why might that be a good, helpful question in your probing? Because you kind of know where they are spiritually. If they say, well, I'm a Roman Catholic. That's, of course, what I was. If someone says, well, I'm a Methodist, or if someone says, well, I'm a Lutheran, do you know anything by that? Yeah, I'm a Seventh-day. So the point is, whatever they tell you, you're kind of gaining information about, okay, they probably think this, or, and okay, well, what do Lutherans believe? Whatever, how do, things like that. So again, that's the icebreaker question. I just need to move quickly because we're running out of time here. So, crunch question, next one. Some variation of this question, will you go to heaven when you die? Or, do you know where you will go when you die? Some variation of that. Something about the issue of the afterlife. So that's kind of the next step. You ever thought about where you're going to go when you die? If they say, well, do you ever think about spiritual things? Yeah, I kind of think about spiritual things all the time. Yeah, I do too. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? You have any thoughts of that?
No, for sure.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the next one. Okay? So what you're trying to do is just ask them some questions that are seeing whether or not they're open to actually talking with you at this point and whether they've got a hungry heart at this point. Okay, so you've got the second category. Will you go to heaven when you die? Or do you think about where you're going to go when you die? Do you believe in heaven and hell? Something like that. Okay, now if that person, if it's gone well so far in the sense of, yes, I do think about spiritual things, I think I'm going to go to heaven when I die. So let's say the next question, when you say, well, where are you going to go with you when you die? And you say, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven. What's a good question to ask at that point? Like Jonathan actually asked it. How do you know? Ask it in a non-threatening way. Don't say, how do you know? Let me tell you something that happened. This was years ago when Brother Jordan's church was on Neva in Chicago there. And he took a group of us out witnessing up and down the streets by his church there. And mostly it was a Roman Catholic community and so forth. So I was out, we were out witnessing, passing out tracts in the neighborhood. We would just go knock on doors. And I was with a brother in Christ. And we were just, you know, zealous and excited and dumb, right? You know, we're probably still at the dumb part, but anyway, we were so zealous. And so we go up to this guy's house. We didn't even knock on the door because the guy's outside in his yard, working in his yard. Okay, and of course he sees we're kind of dressed up. It's a Saturday. We're all hot. You know, he's probably thinking we're JWs or Mormons or whatever. We didn't have ties on, but anyway. So the guy's out working on the side of his yard. We come up to him and said something like, you know, hey, the other person mentioned his name. I'm John and so forth. We're just out talking to people about, you know, things about, you know, eternal spiritual things. Can we talk with you for a couple of minutes? And he was hesitant. He was working in his yard and everything, but he was okay. He said, well, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Whatever. And he said, well, you know, do you think much about God? And he said, well, sure, I think about God. Of course, he's a Catholic and everything. He said, and then the person said, well, do you have an idea where you're going to go when you die? And he said, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. My wife recently died and she's in heaven. And the person said, well, how do you know that? Yeah, uh-oh. Okay. Don't ask it that way, okay? So you got sometimes go, how do you know that? Oh, the guy was ready to get his shotgun out and shoot us. How dare you suggest that my wife's not there? So sometimes you have to be careful how you ask those questions, right? So I'll there was a very we kind of quickly moved on to the next house at that point. That didn't feel good, so well. So all right. So next one there, crunch question. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Next one says, how do you know, or what do you base that on? The question John Athan asked was, what are you trusting in? She says, if God was asked you, why should I let you in my heaven, what would you answer? What would you tell him? That's a really, it's a simple question. It takes a little long to ask it, a lot of words. But if the guy says, I think I'm going to go to heaven when I die, well, then you could say, well, if God was to ask you, why should I let you in my heaven, what would you tell him? That's a great question. Okay? Tony, come on up, please. Yes, you, Tony. Come on up. Come on up, Tony. There we go. Okay. Adrian. We're going to pick on Adrian again. Come on up. That wasn't a very rousing hand clap there, right? There we go. Much better. There we go. Whoa. All right. Yeah. We got the two big dudes up here. Look at this now. So, okay. All I want you to do is this, is just go through the questions. Just, and so you're going to get to the point, you're going to go from the point of asking, hey, do you think much about spiritual things? In this case, you're the believer. In this case, you're not a believer. You're not necessarily antagonistic, but you're not necessarily super open. Okay, you're kind of guarded and protected, all right? Because you don't really know who this guy is. You're just out talking to people, whatever. He doesn't necessarily look like a weird Canadian, even though he is, you know. But so you're just going to ask him, hey, do you think much about spiritual things? And then just kind of take, you can even use the sheet if you want, but just kind of take him through the questions. The point is you want to get to, if I could show you from Scripture how you could know for sure, would you like to see that? That's all, just get to there, okay? There you go.
So do you ever think about spiritual things?
Recently I have, somewhat, but I used to probably a little bit more, maybe from my grandfather.
So you're interested in it? Have you considered what's going to happen to you when you die?
I was never really given any information on where I'm going to go or what I'm going to do. I just feel where if you're good enough, then you're going to be that's going to be adequate. That'll be sufficient.
Would you like to know what the Bible says about how you could enter into heaven?
Well, that's pretty darn right. That's real personal.
It is. Would you like, if you were to be in the presence of God and God was to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would your response be?
Oh boy, I would really want to know then, if you're putting it like that. Yeah.
So if I could show you based on Scripture, would you be interested in letting me show you?
I think I'd have to say yes, if as long as it's something that maybe I can do. I mean, I'm not the best person alive here. I've got lots of faults. Yeah, I've got lots of problems with family.
Nothing that you have to do. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing I have to do?
Nothing you have to do. It's all upon what Christ has done for us already.
Really?
So before you go on then, so can I show you? And then you're going to start with the problem. See, I mean, this is real good, by the way, right? I'm not trying to interrupt you. I'm just saying, so just kind of reinforce. So can I take a few minutes to show you from Scripture?
So can I take a few minutes to show you from Scripture?
I really see some sincerity in your eyes, and maybe I could take a chance and listen to what you got to say.
That's good.
That's very good.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. Good. Give me a hand here. All right. Excellent. Good. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, Joe, come on up. Joe, come on up. David, come on up, please.
There you go.
All right. All right. Okay. Now, David's going to be the believer. David, you got to go out of the room here for a minute.
Oh, you're
ready? Okay. Oh, shit. Okay. Close your ears. Okay. Take just a second. Okay. Okay. Joe is going to be a hard unbeliever. He is not even interested at all. He's a Roman Catholic. He's a good person. Don't you even talk to me about this. Okay? All right. Where'd you go? Oh, he's listening here. Okay. Okay. All right. So, you kind of met recently at a football game. So you're very casual friend, just not even friends so much. You just kind of casually know each other. You have a respect for each other, but that's just about it. You really don't know much about each other. You have family, children, and so forth. You're pretty sure he's not a believer. He doesn't go to church on Sunday. You kind of know perceptively about that and so forth. You're a believer. You know he seems to be religious. Okay, so that's kind of the background. And all you're trying to do is get to the place of ask him, asking the questions. You know, hey, do you think much about spiritual things? And you want to get to the place where, could I show you, if I could, would you be interested? So that's kind of where you're going to, okay?
Hey, that was a good touchdown. What do you think about that? It's a pretty good play,
good.
Huh?
Yeah, our tape drill.
You know how we did that? You know how we did that kind of thing? And,
yeah,
you know,
everybody did.
Thank God for the touchdown.
Yeah, but did you see the guy that got tackled did the same thing?
But it's kind of
they all do that, you know.
It's kind
they
of
do this here, hit the ball and hit a home run, and the next time they do that, and it's pop up.
Out. Yeah, I agree. It's kind of interesting what people think sometimes about, you know, how they made the play and give God credit for it, and then, you know, it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So do you think much about spiritual things, or?
Nah, not really. Just here and now.
You know,
based football games.
Just the here and now.
Yeah.
Well, if you could know whether or not you could go to heaven, or, you know, when you die, would you be interested in knowing more about that?
No.
No?
Because you're on the earth right now, that's it.
Yeah,
no, but
here
when
we
you
are.
Die, that's it. Dead went from here, you're in the grave. In the dirt, dust to dust.
Dust
so
to
live
dust.
Life as you can, because this is reality right here. The other smoke and mirrors.
Yeah? Well, there's some verses that can give you some hope about, you know, what happens to you after you die. Be happy to.
Those verses are just words that men write down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to know any more about that?
No.
All right. Well,
okay.
Hope you enjoy the game.
Good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Good job. Yeah. He did that pretty good, didn't he? And I tell you what, David handled that really good too. Really did. Yeah. Yeah. Very, very patient. Very just. And I suppose if this is just a supposition that if there was anything else David could have said was something like, well, if anything ever changes, and if you ever do have a question in the future, please, you know, just, hey, we're buddies, we're friends, just let me know. And just leave it at that. Hey, you're going to watch the game next week. See that? Because that way you kind of keep the door open to him. But that was really good. And you know what? You're going to run across Joe. Right? Yeah, your friend called Ed. Yes, yeah. You're going to run across things like that. And so you just be there for them. You ask them the question. If they say no, they're telling you no, don't talk to me. You know, you'll sometimes what you'll have happen is those who are dearest to you, family members, friends, you can say, they'll tell you right to your face, don't ever talk to me about this again. It breaks your heart. But just be there for them, okay? So know those crunch questions. What time is it now? We're over time. Let's do this. We're basically done for today. Does anybody have any questions? I'll be here if you want, but let's just have a word of prayer. Okay, Sid, would you pray for us this afternoon? Okay, great. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be able to just study, understand, and better apply your word in our lives, to be able to take this instruction with us, keep it in our